Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvetti and my lovely co-host, Veronica. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. How's it going?
Wonderful, and I have absolutely decided we're going to have to do more than one show on this because I can tell by the way things are coming in and the energy. I guess it's just time. So, tonight's show, are you an abductee? Are you experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder and not aware it could be the answer to some of your problems? There's a bunch more on there. Confronting this possibility can be very scary for people, and I find it interesting. Some people will go on the website. They will avoid the piece that's on there about abductees, detainees, and how it's treated and so on, almost, and, you know, I don't know that when they call, but I can feel abductees. It's just something you kind of feel. You know, you can't explain it to anybody, but it's in their energy field. And I really want to say to everybody listening tonight, there is so much distorted information out there. And I was telling Ronnie earlier that Dolores Cannon and I had this conversation about our experiences are very positive, even in something that happened a couple years ago where I had somebody on the show and who was very involved with the reptilians and the greys and so on. And they did approach, but they never came in the house. They did, you know, they were very respectful. They had their own agenda, but that was okay, too. You know, again, there's protocol. And so they treated me with protocol, not with disrespect, and I really appreciated that. Show format. Ronnie came up with a great idea. I absolutely agree with her. And by the way, I'm not offended by this at all. I've heard from many people that they really, really want to hear the team. So what we're going to do is about 15 minutes of kind of catching everybody up on what's going on, all the little things. If that runs 15, fine. If it doesn't, that's okay. Then we will handle the questions that have been called in, and tonight the team's going to use my eyes to do this. There's one question that we'll address the whole thing in another show, but just the questions that were included. This is after I talked to you, Veronica. It's very good, which made me realize we really need to go further into this. So the team, I'll go into channel, the team will address the questions, and then they'll spend the rest of the time talking about the subject matter. And we're going to see how this works, you know, if this works a little bit better, because I never know how much time they're going to take to answer questions. So I don't want to take any time, and we're trying to stay with questions that are germane kind of to everyone, or at least we assume they are. Ronnie and I went over them, but I think this particular subject has, because there are so many out there, much more than anybody realizes. I listened to a poll that was taken by Bud Hopkins and Dr. Jacobs, and I was really fascinated about the way it was done. And they just chopped it to heck to make it more and more and more conservative. But the real numbers were so much bigger, it was just mind-boggling. I knew this, but again, I don't think the public knows it. And I think they did it in order to kind of avoid, you know, people coming up in arms about, oh, you're full of crap and so on. But anyway, we're going to see a lot more about this year. I just checked the computer a moment ago. And on the Huffington Post, there was an article. Fran Drescher came out telling about the fact that she had been abducted.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
And her husband, who she's now divorced from, who is gay, you know, has come out of the closet and, you know, said he was gay. And they still have great love for each other, but they both had exactly the same experience in their father's car in junior, when they were both in junior high school. They both have exactly the same scars. And she indicated that hers was a tracking device. I mean, it was just so much fun to read it because she absolutely would not deviate, and she had no problem coming straight out with the information.
Yay!
I think we're going to see more of this, and I think it's going to be a very interesting year.
it already is, isn't it? Wow.
Oh, my. Solar. I just wanted to touch on solar flares for a moment. This is a great opportunity, although it's hair-raising, and I say that with tongue-in-cheek. It is hair-raising with these solar flares. But they can really trigger things that you think you've dealt with, or trigger you to go back to old ways of doing things, you know, losing tempers, doing things. I had this experience, so I can speak frankly about it. And found out we absolutely cannot step back into any old way to deal with anything. I don't normally lose my temper, so it was really, but it triggered something. I had a situation with something so totally unrelated from what I do here. And it was over automobile insurance. And but it triggered a couple of things. One was lack of integrity. One was lack of respect. You know, there was just a number of things that got triggered, including some very other issues that it triggered in me. But I got very aggressive over it. I was really unhappy. And what was wonderful, the team really brought me back around. They were so funny. And I realized that I stepped out of my elegance. I stepped out of my dominion. I stepped out of the way I know how to create. And once I went back to it after I calmed down and, you know, they zinged me a couple of times, I went back to it and everything changed elegantly. But it was really interesting. So it can trigger things that you don't realize that are there. And obviously for me, it triggered something around safety, and it triggered something else that I was aware of, and I was really, so I really done some major processing on it. So just be aware that it can't, it really is a gift. It just doesn't feel like it. I hate it when it's like that. Okay. Nature of Personal Reality, okay? I love this book. The team has told a number of people. Their goal was for me to get it for me because it contains so much information that they talk about. They thought it would be wonderful, and it came at a very critical time for me before I got my last results on the cancer. And and they laugh about the fact that I get so excited about something, I want to share it. So They knew that that would happen, but really it was for my use. Now, there's no way I wouldn't share it, but I want to say this to everybody. There have been people who have tried to do work on core beliefs and got overwhelmed because a core belief would take them to all these subsets and more subsets. By the time they got down, they decided they were totally flawed, completely screwed up, brought up major anger, and then also self-loathing. And so I really want to caution everybody, take it slow. Work on one belief until you're really comfortable that you've turned it around, that you've got the new belief, that you've really been working with it. Just as Seth says, you know, just sit with it. Imagine it. Put emotion to how it feels to live with that new belief and how your life can be different. And it'll be amazing to see how many things will come up when you're sitting with it. But please try not to take everything on at once. It will kick your hiney. And Veronica said tonight, are you still reading the Seth books? And I said, I'm still on The Nature of Personal Reality. It's so rich to me that I'm very slow with it because, and also I love the team because so much, they're great. And that, you know, these are things that because I'm in channel all the time, I don't get it at the same level. Reading it takes me to another level. Someday I will get my butt in gear and write a book. I just want to caution everybody. It's brilliant material. Some people, and, you know, if you guys are, whoever's listening, if you're having sessions, the team is happy to work with you on core beliefs, but they're not going to let you go into a ton of core beliefs at one time. It's too overwhelming. Usually there are core beliefs that tie together, and when you can look at, you know, and so they're really lovely about how they do it, and they're loving. And so you don't feel overwhelmed, you know, and I think that this is so important. I get so excited about stuff and I toss it out there and I don't always realize that it can create a firestorm, which is never my intent.
So I remember the night we did it on your show. I came right apart at the end of it, actually.
Oh, I felt so bad. I called her the next morning to thank her for being the guinea pig, and she was still undone, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can never do this again.
Oh, you know, I don't agree with that, because you know what happens is for people that are doing that, it unlaced something that had been strapped in me. It's just like it took me kind of unaware at the time.
You know what I mean?
It's not gone back. It's not gone back to the way it was.
No, and I got so much mail about that particular show. It was really, really, it hit a lot of people. So you really assisted a lot of people by being willing, and your courage is amazing.
Well, and I got really wonderful feedback from people saying, you did this for me, and thank you, and what courage, you know, and I felt good about it. But at the time, I was shaking in the knees.
this is how powerful some of this stuff can be, and this is why I caution everybody.
Right.
When you're working with core beliefs, please look back to mom and dad, okay? Because that's, not that there aren't other influences, but that is that's your blueprint right there. Always mom and dad, and you project from there onto everything else. So, and it can be very, very subtle. We were speaking with somebody today, and it came to a point where something in her life that it was relationships, and it all went back to dad. And she had worked with a therapist many years ago who had pinpointed it, which was that she never got the attention from dad that she really wanted. And it was so fascinating how it all unwoven. You know, again, I get bits and pieces in the sessions, but this was big stuff. So don't underestimate how your relationships with other people really do go back to the primary relationships with mom and dad, God and goddess. I'm going to go into channel and hope they don't blow my eyes, which I'm sure they won't, because we do stuff with my eyes, read intentions and stuff for sessions. So, okay. Give me a moment here. All right. Welcome, everyone. All right, so we've got a new format here. All right. So the first question is not related to tonight's topic. And this is about contracts we make with our family members when we are young that don't serve us and should be changed or broken. They want us to talk about examples of these contracts and how to better recognize. And this is from Vicky. All right, Vicky, and for all of you, we understand the question very well. The contracts that you make, and if you're referring, all right, we have to go both ways here, and we don't want to take up too much time. You come onto the planet with certain contracts with parents. You know, this is a designed, you know, especially this lifetime, which is a culminating lifetime. So you come in with themes, and you agree with all the people in your family that you're going to work on specific themes, all right? Now, there are other forms of contracts that you as a child make that go deep, deep into the subconscious, all right? And these can occur when something happens in your family that you find upsetting, devastating, stripping of dignity, any number of things. I will never, no one will ever, they will never. And that's a contract and a deep one. Now, we would recommend, perhaps Lazarus has some wonderful material on breaking these types of psychic contracts of pain, for one. There is a tape called Breaking Psychic Contracts of Pain. It's part of the Shame series. It's excellent, Vicky, if that's what you're talking about, all right? And it comes with a meditation, all right, to work on breaking those contracts. And you could use this meditation to break any form of contract that you've made with parents. And if you're talking about contracts, because many of these exist on many different levels, I'll never succeed past you, all right? I have to be this. All right, I can never do that. That's a different level of contract. So you've got basically three or four different types of contracts with parents. Again, we recommend this wonderful tape by Lazarus. We think it's excellent. And, of course, as a child, most everything is tied into shame at some level. Shamed into performing a certain way, shamed into agreeing to a certain thing. So we would say that this would be the best step for you to take. For us to sit here and give you all kinds of processes would take up a lot of time. These are important, and we want you to. Now, some of the contracts you may not be able to identify, and again, this is a recommendation for Lazarus's tape. All right, it can help you identify some of the contracts you may have made without realizing it. And Lazarus does talk about them in this particular tape. And we hope this has been helpful to you. Again, Psychic Contracts of Pain, and it's Lazarus, LazarisIS.com. There's a little search thing in there when you get the tapes and things, and you just put in psychic contracts of pain or shame, and all of them will come up, including that particular one. We hope that we've answered your question sufficiently.
Does the lifting of shame remove some contracts? And thank you for that answer, too.
It's a little different with psychic contracts of pain. That's why we refer to that particular tape.
Okay.
It is different because it's woven together differently.
Mm.
All right. Definitely worth listening to for all of you that still feel there's some residual there with family. All right. All right. She's happy about the abductions and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder for tonight. I believe I've been abducted, have no memory, though. You also suggested that I may have hybrid children, too, separate topic. How much of the very difficult time I have had being a human here on planet Earth is directly connected to my abduction? All right, and this is Anne. We're going to keep this generic, Anne, if we can, here, to a degree. These experiences begin very young for all of you. All right? They have a very direct effect. It wasn't intended that they would have, well, we'll go both ways on this. The intention was not for it to be so difficult on the one side. And measures were taken. We'll explain those in a minute. On the other side, there are those of you, and please understand, everyone, if you've had these experiences, you agreed to them. As long as they were with the Greys, and there are other races that work with the Greys, please understand, the Greys have permission to come and go. But that's because they're really humans from another dimension, another timeline, who made a lot of mistakes. Now, the question, you know, the Zetas, well, they live, yes, we understand. We said a different timeline. Please be aware of this. All right? They don't want to see you do to your version of Earth what they did to their version of Earth. All right? They're far more ahead of you, quite a bit ahead of you, in terms of the timeline. Now, many of you also agreed, you know, through this process that you would be the bridge, all right, on many different levels, a bridge on many different levels, willing to experience the fear, helping to transmute a lot of fear in the collective. And there is fear with these experiences. To tell you that there is not would not be the truth. The intention, all right, this has been going on for a long time, since about 47. The intention, all right, was to abduct people or detain them. We like that word. Bashar likes that too. Detain them. Examine them, see what they're doing, and all of the contamination on the planet, so on and so forth, what's it doing to the human, all right? And because they can no longer procreate, all right? This is part of the mistake they made because they don't have the emotions. They did a lot of genetic manipulation. They felt that, oh, just be intelligent, super intelligent, and didn't, without the emotions, it won't be a problem. Well, it didn't turn out that way. All right? Over time, the emotions fell away, fell away, fell away. All right? And, all right, in order to preserve the human seed, your human seed, all right, you were all approached prior to coming onto the planet. Would you be willing to do this with us? All right? Would you be, we don't want to lose, all right, the gray seed. We don't want to lose the human seed. And if we put them together, we can do genetic alterations, creating other races. Now, please understand, where you get into trouble here sometimes is with timeline. Bashar, many of you may already know, is a hybrid between humans and Greys, genetically altered to create an entire race. And that race, all right, is quite a bit ahead of you. So you may have difficulty with the concept of timelines, you see. because you deal with linear time on Earth, but it doesn't exist anywhere else because it's part of the illusionary package. All right? Now, their idea was if we screen the memory, all right? Screening mean that we literally kind of block them out. You see it on, Veronica, what's that program where they, the Men in Black, that's it. They have a little thing they beam into, and the people forget what happened. Well, basically, that's what they do, and they had hoped that that would be sufficient, all right, to avoid recollection and trauma. The problem, however, without understanding the emotional body, is that there was shock and trauma to the emotional body, to the chakras. All right? Lots of this carried in the third chakra. So even though people didn't have access to the memories of these experiences, they carried the trauma. Hence, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem that so many of you have, hypervigilance and all of these things, all right, are part of this package of post-traumatic stress disorder. Hypersensitive. For many of you, through your experiences, you opened more. Remember, this was not a perfect science. We want you to be clear with this. It was not a perfect science. Now, some people, and more, you've seen where people are having some memories, some experiences. We have one question, or several questions from one person tonight who has very vivid memories of their experience. Pieces, just pieces. But because of the nature of that person, all right, it was all right. Now, we're going to explain this very clearly as clearly as we can. What happens to a child when this begins is, one, they are in communication with the child. The child knows when they're coming. The child is unable, in most cases, to articulate this to a parent. And so what you end up with is a child who doesn't want to go to bed, who's afraid of the dark, afraid of the closet. And in trauma, because they can't explain the fear. It can manifest also where they feel betrayed by mom and dad. All right? Because mom and dad didn't save them. Now, as a child, you hear about the boogeyman. You get out of the bed, the boogeyman will get you, etc., etc. For a little child, in their mind, the boogeyman can be coming to get them. This is trauma. Nobody really thought about these kinds of things in terms of it being translated that way. Now, whether they remember or not, what happens to many of them, they find themselves unable to adapt into society. They have a sense of being different, of always being on the outside looking in, feeling a sense of shame. There's something wrong with them. Many of them, especially the young ones, have some memory of the experience at some level, and they're afraid to access it because it's so laden with trauma. Does this follow you into adulthood? This was for man. Yes. Hypervigilance. Well, one of the major, major things for post-traumatic stress disorder. Hypercautious. All right. Hyper-cautious. Fear of the dark. We still have many adults, even our channel, still sleeps with ambient light and fans and all kinds of things because she can hear so much. She had a house guest and they asked her the next day if she had a train going through her room. Many people who absolutely have to have air on them at night. Air, give me air, give me air.
I'm like that.
Yes.
And light.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Hypersensitivity. Hypersensitive to things. Absolute, and this can happen, terror of dentists and distrust of dentists and doctors. The trauma of even going in, especially a dentist, because you are in a chair, you're leaned back, you might as well be strapped in. Right? So their sensitivity to dentists even greater. Distrust of doctors and dentists. Very common. Very common because it's too similar. Too similar to the things they've experienced, even though they may not have conscious memories. And we would say for most people who had these experiences, you're probably the most last with having regular examinations or pap smears or anything that requires dutiful, regular visits. Unless you run with some fear and that might get you there. So, as a difficult time, survival. All of you feel that you have a mission. This is a very important piece of this. You all feel, because you have been instructed, yes, you've got a mission. And when the time is right, you will know what it is. And so this driving force over the mission, what's my mission? And you look to everybody, can you tell me what my mission is? This is another big piece. All right. Another big piece. An internal knowing that drives you. Concern for the earth. Tremendous concern for the earth, for the animals, for the mistreatment of other humans, the abuse of the planet, and all of her beauty. All right. Many people are shown aboard ship videos with potential calamities, and the message they're trying to get through is if you don't do something, this is what can happen to Earth. Again, their intent, and because they came to the government first, and the government's promised, oh yeah, we'll take care of this, yeah, we'll do this and we'll do that, and we promise we'll implement all of these wonderful technologies you're giving us, but of course they didn't. And that left them really no choice. And then the atomic bomb, of course, that was a very big factor, which is why things started very quickly. It was random in 47 it got. Then they made contact random to specific people. Then contact with governments. And then they watched and they observed and they realized nothing was going to be done. And then, all right, they went out and began contacting people individually. We've got to change this now. Hybridization. That was part of the program and it's part of what you all agreed to. You want a few eggs, you want some sperm, no problem. But again, you're making these choices from the other side of the veil. You enter the planet in amnesia. You don't remember any of this. Many people feel that this is inhumane and terrible, and how can they dare do this? But you see, the truth is, you were happy to participate. because from the other side of the veil, you're concerned not only about Earth, but about many other races, many other beings, and their plight. And also, on the other side of the veil, all the parallel, all the other experiences, nothing is solid the way that you perceive it from Earth. Please be clear with that. Now, all of you who, the majority, we would say, well, we would say all, have hybrid children. If you've had abduction experiences or detainments, you have hybrid children. Some a few, some more. Primarily because if you're listening to this show, you're forward thinking. You're spiritual, you're driven, you wouldn't be listening to the show unless part of your whole plan of coming to Earth was to participate, to co-participate in any way possible to assist Earth in its evolution. Now, do these hybrid children exist? And for the majority of you, well, they're well along in age. They don't stay with mom and dad the way that you all do. And they're very involved. We do a session where we help people meet them, connect with them. It's a very beautiful experience. Get a name. They tell you what they do. It's all communication. It's telepathic. We don't say it for them. You get to experience. We're not here to tell you. We're here to facilitate. There's a big difference. A big difference. All right. And the answer, hands down, is yes. All right. From Laura. All right. We're not going to go through her whole writing tonight because it's quite detailed and so on, but we will save this for a different show where we go more into people's experiences. The question is, what is the science behind physical detainments in leaving and returning of the physical body in the human psyche? What is happening to the body on a cellular level? And how do the bodies pass through what seems to be solid to us? This is a very good question. All right. You are in a beam, and everyone that we've done these sessions with, everyone, we take them back to childhood until they know they're coming. And their human body, their current body, begins to react, right? Primarily in the abdominal area. Now, in many cases, they see the light coming through the window. We try not to take them quite that far. And then we immediately move them from there to aboard ship. That light, all right, is very different than what you are used to. We're not going to go into all of the components of the light. We will simply say that things can happen in that light that could not happen under any other circumstances. You are lifted out of the bed and taken through the window, the wall, the door, whatever, and literally your cells come apart and reassemble on the other side of the object. But it happens so fast you don't realize it's happening. It can make you very nauseous. It can be very disconcerting.
Is your body left there?
Sometimes it is, most cases not. Not with grace. Now, here's what we'll say. Many people have experienced, witnessed, etc., people being lifted up into the light. They're in the light. They literally lift up through the light. Nobody's holding on to them. They literally lift up through the light and up into the bottom of the ship. All right? They experience, and they're very numbed out, if you will. All right? They're not really fully conscious. It would be like taking some strong pain pills or something where you're really kind of out of it. They do have an examination on the table that can be very frightening. All right? Very frightening. It is not intended to hurt you, but these are beings that do not necessarily understand emotion. All right? They're there to get the job done and return you as quickly as possible. Now, we're not going to go into detail about some of these things because there's no reason to go into massive detail that isn't necessary. There is taking of ovum and taking of sperm. There is interaction after the experience. All right. Viewing things on a computer, being talked to by a tall gray. Obviously in control, the little ones, no. They're hived. People think they're robots, and people say robots. They're not robots per se. They function under a hive mentality. They do what they're there to do. Now, are they soulless? Absolutely not. Please be clear with that. The being is then returned through the light. Many of you have dreams of falling. All right? Falling. That can be, we're not saying always, but it can be attributed at times to these experiences. Because you literally are falling through light, although the light is holding. It can be traumatized. Back through the wall, window, door, whatever, and into your bed. Sometimes you are accompanied, the beings are there, and they make certain that you get into the bed, you're covered back up. They're not always perfect at getting your jammies or nightgowns back on perfectly. Now, in many cases, they return the impregnated egg, all right, into the womb, allow it to gestate long enough, and then remove it. But some people continue to have periods, some people do miss a period. And then they retrieve the fetus and again return. After the baby is fully grown, not as an adult, but disconnected from the machines and where they're kept in these containers of fluid, you are then brought back, now we're talking as an adult or a young adult, brought back to connect with the baby. There can be a series of these visits, or only several. You may have more than one situation of impregnation. This can sound very primitive to people, but please understand, when you can accept that you agree to this, rather than it's being foisted on you, it will be easier for you to look at the bigger picture of the contribution that you're making. Because these beings are doing marvelous work. All of them, and each one of them, has different things that they're doing. Many of them are involved and will be involved in first contact. Will you see them again in this lifetime? Some of them you are going to connect with in this lifetime. Very important. And they're looking to reconnect with you on a whole different level of consciousness. All right.
Can we just suddenly become aware of our memories of having that experience if we have no idea that, you know, we know we've been abducted, but we don't remember it?
Here, this was one of her questions, by the way. What's a good method of rewiring the brain to have a full and clear recall after detainment?
Hmm.
All right. And here's what we'd say to you. It would not be healthy for you to re-experience fear and terror. If you were having the experience without the fear and terror, you are more likely to have some recall. But if you go into fear and terror, that does not serve you. And there are therapists out there taking people through regression, but they're not deep enough. So they relive the terror, and it can be shattering. Now, taking people into the somnolistic state, the deepest state, which is what Dolores Cannon does, they are not fearful. They have a much better experience, and they find the things that they thought were done to them weren't necessarily done to them. The hybridization, yes, that is done. But if you are fear-based, there is no point in re-experiencing terror. Would you agree, Brooke?
I agree. Although you were talking about post-trauma, and I'm going, well, maybe it's the
that
terror.
That is the post-trauma, all right?
But if it's hidden, isn't it better to get it out so it doesn't keep activating?
No, that's a misnomer.
Okay.
What we do, and we'll explain this to you, when we do an abduction session, our goal is to unweave that, all right, without having to relive it, to unweave it so that, and it happens over time, so that the trauma is not so great. The unaccessed trauma is not so great. And eventually you come to a level of peace and understanding. Now, it's very complex, and when we first decided to do it, the channel was in great concern. Whoa, wait a minute, what are you doing? But we promised her this will work, all right? This will work. For some people, we've had people come back, a couple, and say, I want to go further. I want to re-experience the abduction. All right.
And do you take them there?
We did. Parts of it without having to experience the trauma. Because they carried a lot of anger, and once they were there, they understood where the anger came from. There were other beings involved in their experiences, and they were able to see them and know that they were there. Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
All right. What other races are detaining humans? This is a very good question, and it's one that we don't normally. Here's what we're going to say. Some people have had reptilian experiences that weren't very friendly. Some have had very lovely experiences. There are a number of different races, and you're dealing with past, present, future. And within the reptilians, there are a number of different groups of reptilians. They do not belong to, the difficult groups do not belong to any of them, actually, to any association. To any formal group. Therefore, they act outside of that. Do you understand?
I think so.
All right.
You mean they aren't affiliated, or they aren't...
They are not affiliated, which means they're not governed, nor are they scrutinized. Do you understand?
Yeah.
There are some lovely reptilians who have nothing but good. They participate in doing healing work. They're not part of the our team. But again, we want you to understand there are some wonderful ones. Mm. All right? You cannot categorize any more than you could humans. Humans are wonderful and lovely. Look at them. Well, that's not all true, right? There's some pretty errant humans. All right. There are cases of people who've had experiences with reptilians that were less than lovely. We have not worked with, which we find very interesting, people who wanted to do things with us were deterred. Do you understand?
You mean they were prevented from doing something dangerous?
They were definitely, no, they were discouraged from doing work with us. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we do not generally attract anybody who has had these kinds of experiences. And for many of them, we have had people who had psychotic breaks as a result. And at that point, it was pretty difficult to do anything to help. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Now, this particular person, Laura, at one point, evidently the channel's pretty determined we should do more than one show, and we can see where probably it's a good idea. We encourage all of you, if you have questions, all right, and next week, Veronica, what did the show on? You had some other idea for the channel. Was something she
did. Oh, I was talking about letting go, and because Jack and I were speaking last night about the actual art of letting go, and I realized it was a myriad of things and many levels of consciousness. I thought that was a worthwhile discussion. It doesn't have to be in a hurry, though.
All right. Well, we would recommend for all of you, all right, that have other questions, send them in, and we will try to address them. We will continue doing these shows on this subject until we've gotten through all your questions, as long as you try to keep them. Try not to make them too terribly long. We can understand that. Now, if you've had an experience and you want to share, and we'll have the channel go through and try to. We don't want to take up a whole show on one letter.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick question,
yes.
Which is I don't have any memory of being abducted, although I seem to have a terrific number of the symptoms. I used to stand by the window a lot and look at the stars and know that somebody really missed me there. Would you say that's part of the same thing or just?
Well, no, we would say that's part of your absolute knowing.
Hmm.
All right. Now, could it be? Yes. In a different show, we're going to talk about the fact that majority of you carry gray DNA. There have been a lot of alterations. A lot. And the channel has some people she wants to have on the show who wrote a book about this very subject, who have a very ongoing relationship with the gray. And one of the ladies is human by day and gray by night.
Oh, my.
So we think this will be a very interesting show as well.
It needs to be a television show.
Yes. All right. Now, Veronica, if you need to talk about your shows, please.
At 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, we're having Dr. Hyla Kass talking about brain chemistry and amino acids and so on. And I wanted her to follow up Dr. Louisa Williams, who was talking about the intricacies of various aspects of our health and natural healing. So
wonderful.
Because,
wonderful. All right.
Yes, thank you.
And then on Thursday, you're
Thursday
on
is my show at 7 o'clock. It's a call-in show, and it's all about all of you. So that's 7 o'clock, just before Jackie and the team.
All right. Now, it's been a joy. Actually, we kind of like this format. It's been a joy to do this evening. We look forward to additional questions from all of you. Don't be afraid to ask questions, people. It's the way you learn. And we will answer them the very best that we can. There are some things we can tell you, some things we can't. All right? Now, not about this so much, but about, you know, different races and so on. We will go as far as we can. Please know that there are other races working with Gray. They are not just on their own. They have been working on your planet for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Actually, more than that. We know
Is it possible that some of us are those and don't realize it?
Absolutely. It's possible that, yes, that would be a yes. And also, your encounters with other beings. All right. Maybe other versions of you. You're just starting to really open up your ideas and concepts. And this year can be very exciting if you allow it to be. If you stay out of fear, please know nobody's going to be abducted to listen to the show. That's not the way this works. All right? The Grays have their own agenda. They work over there. They do their thing. All right? There is one Gray called the Doctor, very advanced Gray, all right, who does consult with people who are on the cutting edge, all right? There are so many races, people. There are so many things going on. And for those that have had the experience with us, when the doors opened and they could see in the ship, they were amazed. There was all kinds of things going on in there, far different than what they would have believed. There's a great deal of cooperation happening in the universe. And everybody has their jobs. The Grays have permission to come and go. Remember that. And that permission is granted from a very high level. This is your year to learn as much as possible. Remember, quarantine is lifted at the end of the year. That does not mean that you're going to be inundated by ships landing everywhere. Not at all. But this is the time to learn, to get familiar, to overcome your fears, to really look at things, and to see the bigger picture. And we try to help you in any way we can. We would love to come and visit you. All right, we're not going to take you out of your bed and take you off and put you on an examining table. We would love to come and visit you if you'd allow us to help each of you who are willing tonight to come to greater peace and to know that you are safe. Your goal this year is to move into more and more dominion. The more in dominion you are, oh, the more that can open to you on so many levels. We love you, dear ones, and until we speak with you again in this format, to you, Veronica and Seth, and to everyone, namaste.
Namaste.